The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Man, yesterday I was doing some elevator eavesdropping and I thought these coworkers were going to throw blows or something. I want to talk about this now. It's not just couples fighting about where to eat. Good morning. It's the Dana Cortez Show. My name is Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
No, so I was getting into the elevator yesterday. You know, we're on the 19th floor. So I had to stand outside of the elevator for quite some time. And there were some women next to me to the left. I don't know them. We have a very large building here. And they were clearly friends and they're excited. They're going to lunch together. And one said, "Where do you want to go?" And the other said, "It doesn't matter, wherever you want." And she said, "Hey, so I know this Chinese restaurant. It's amazing." And she said, "I don't like Chinese." "Okay." And she's like, "Well, what do you want?" And then she proceeds to say again, "I don't care, whatever you want." So then the other woman says, "Oh, we can go to this pub, blank, blank, blank. They have great salads." And then the woman says, "I don't like salads." And I'm thinking, is this me and DJ Automatic right now? Because that's exactly what happens. We get into the elevator. This conversation proceeds all the way down to my floor. And I could tell that the woman who is trying to suggest everything to the other woman who's just, she's just shooting everything down, is so annoyed. She kind of gave me a look like, can you feel my pain? Can you? And I just got out of the elevator. I'm surprised I didn't call you, Otto, right away, because this is us. Otto will say, and Anthony, you've been a witness, "Hey, let's all go to lunch." And we're like, "Cool, let's go here." And then he's like, "Well, we ask him first, what do you want? Whatever you guys want." And then we suggest it, and he says, "I don't really like that." Like, well, why are you asking
That's not the way it goes. It goes the exact opposite way, where you don't ever know where you want to go. I say something, you say, "I don't really like that."
Sure. I'm going to mark this down, and the next time we I'm going to document it via video.
Then it turns into, "I'm just going to cook at home, okay?"
Because I can't handle your indecisiveness. It's not women or men who can't figure out what to eat. It's a personality thing. It's the undecided. There is a group of amongst us that's called the undecided. I don't know that they're human. Like, they're different than the rest of us.
I don't know if it's always undecided people as much as it is like passive aggressive people pleasers who are just I'm so like go with the flow. I don't care. But it actually adds to more stress. Because I see your take about DJ Automatic, and for me and my experience with him, Automatic really doesn't have a preference on where we eat.
I don't.
What are you talking about? I'm glad you're here.
And I don't think so, but now I know what you guys both do whenever we do sit down, though. Regardless of where we go eat, for some reason, both of you guys ask the waiters, "What's your favorite thing on the menu?"
I don't. That's your boy.
I do.
I've seen both of y'all do it.
I proudly ask what's your favorite thing? Because if I'm going to go eat somewhere and they eat there every day or they've worked there for years, let me know what's good.
But then, Anthony, this is what he'll do. He'll ask the waiter, "What's your favorite thing?" And then they tell him and he orders something completely different. Yeah,
well, if I don't like it.
Then why are you asking? Point proven. All right. What do we have for National Day, Anthony A?
Some people may know it as Christmas pudding, but it's National Plum Pudding Day, everybody.
Yeah, it's the pudding nobody wants. You ever been to somebody's house and they serve you something and you're like, "Thank you." And then you're thinking, "What the heck is this? That's plum pudding."
What exactly is plum pudding?
It's pudding made of plums, Otto. Nobody wants it. Nobody's ever eaten it.
What? Actually, there's no plums in plum pudding.
That's even worse. It's fake. Yeah.
Does it say what's in it?
It's fruit and a cinnamon concoction.
Oh my gosh, I don't want it. So it's worse than fruitcake.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Gosh, you know, earlier, Otto, Ant, you know how we were talking about weddings and being nervous and all of that? There were so many beautiful stories on how to deal with the nervousness of your wedding and all of that. It brought back a memory, Otto. We've been married a long time, look, but it brought back something that really bothered me on our wedding day. And it had to do with you.
And what did I do?
It was your stupid shoes.
Oh.
Those?
What about my shoes?
So I begged Otto.
I don't remember what shoes I wore. So.
They're in one of my favorite pictures of us. Okay. I begged you to buy a pair of dress shoes, but you're a DJ. You're like, "I don't wear dress shoes. I don't want to spend money on dress shoes." And I was like, "What are you going to do?"
Oh, yeah. Anyway? I probably rented them.
It's like bowling. It's like bowling at the wedding. You wore shoes that other people have worn. They weren't stylish. Do you want me to tell you what those shoes looked like? What I remember that day, because you looked so handsome. And then I looked down and I was like, he's wearing the Munster Man shoes. What's the guy? What was the guy? The Munster guy. He was the dad. I don't know. Not Eddie. Eddie was the kid. The dad in the Munsters had these big shoes. And it was way before I was born or anything to show, but it's still a classic show, whatever. Your feet look like that. And it was like, you looked so good. And then I looked down. In fact, our wedding photos that we still haven't picked up, if you notice when I post them, I chop our feet off because I hate your shoes.
I think, you know, that's kind of a running theme here because when we went to the White House, I didn't buy new shoes for that either. And sometimes when I post those pictures, I chop off my feet too because my shoes look awful. And I'm a guy. I literally have, I don't know, at least 100 pair of shoes.
But you're a sneaker guy. Yeah, you're a sneakerhead. I finally, Anthony, after all these years, I finally convinced Otto to buy some nice dress shoes. And they'll last you a lifetime. Were they spendy? Yes. But I said this, you'll buy one pair and you'll never have to buy another pair. I know you only wear them once or twice a year, but we don't have to cut your feet off in our pictures anymore.
Does he wear them though?
Yeah.
I wear them now.
Yeah, we've had to, if we go to the Grammys or something, or if we have like a really high end event or something, he'll wear them. But he wears sneakers most of the time. You know, I mean, he's not that guy to wear dress shoes.
I like to be comfortable.
Yeah. I still, to this day, that's the only thing that bothered me.
The only thing I regret from our wedding is the hangover. The fact that I was let myself be controlled by my friends to drink as much alcohol as I did that night. Because, I mean, I remember everything, but...
No, you don't. You do not.
I remember most of it.
The
fact that I had a three-day hangover... I've never had a three-day hangover in my life.
It was so bad, we didn't even consummate the marriage, okay? It was that bad. I'm like, what is going on?
It was awful.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
So there are these high school students that are fixing up cars, and then they give the keys to single moms.
Oh.
It's just such a great program. When I found out about this, I thought, this should just be a program that's done all over the country. It's in Virginia, and these kids that are in, I guess, mechanic shop class, they get cars that people donate, old cars.
Mm-hmm.
They fix them up, and then they give them to single moms. And they've given away, like, over 60 cars already.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's amazing.
To me, I just think to myself, first of all, you're learning empathy, right? Yes. You're learning the power of community, the power of giving, and you're learning a valuable skill.
That can't be replaced by AI.
Exactly. You out of high school, you can go fix some cars and make money immediately. And remember the last time you took your car to a mechanic? Make some good money because there is no such thing as a cheap mechanic at all. So here's an excerpt from Now This. They did a story about it.
A high school program is giving cars to single moms in need. It's in Virginia, and high schoolers there are learning the basics of auto shop and repairing cars, but then also using those skills to restore cars to give away to single moms. So far, they've given away 60 cars and repaired over 260 others since partnering with Giving Words.
People that didn't even know me cared enough to care about my kids. You never know what one act of kindness will do.
I remember being single and with my daughters and not having a reliable vehicle, or and at one point not having a vehicle at all, walking everywhere, walking to work, walking to the convenience store to buy food, walking. It was so hard. It sets you back when you already have
a lot on your plate,
you know? Man. So this is incredible. Jessica Rader, she did an interview with the Washington Post, and she said she still can't believe that she was presented with a 2007 gold Prius. She said, when they handed me the keys, I was like, what do I do? And they're like, drive away. Nothing. The car is yours, free and clear.
Which is amazing. I went to a high school that they did something similar like this. They had a different program. It was like a shop program, which had like taught kids to be mechanics and do other things.
Yeah,
but then they also had the program for the young mothers, that girls that were still in high school that had babies, and they were right next to each other. So they were already kind of doing this in one of the high schools I went to, where sometimes if the girls didn't have a ride or have anything going on for them, the guys in the mechanic class would fix up a car for them and get them a car.
Absolutely incredible. Why is this everywhere, right?
Yeah, that's a good question, Dana. Like, I don't know about you guys, but for me growing up, the kids who went to shop class, the rest of us kind of viewed it as like not as progressive, or I don't.
It wasn't valued. It wasn't a valued class. Yes, I understand what you're saying.
Oh, that's a little different now, isn't it?
100%. I'm looking back like I was an idiot going to creative writing. Yeah, dude. Dana, so, you were there when me and Automatic tried to chain or jump start his Jeep, which that
we did it. Did we not do it
after like 4 or 5 YouTube videos?
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
I've been locked into the Winter Olympics. I mean, that's a lie. I'm not watching it. I have not seen.
I've been watching it.
Really, Otto? You've been watching it?
I love the Winter Olympics. I'll even watch the figure skating. I mean, those people are super impressive. To be able to get up in the air and do 4 twists and then land on skates, that's crazy.
When it comes to skating, I'm not going to lie to you. I love the figure skating. When I was little, I actually used to pretend I was skating around the house. Okay, look, there's a lot going on. Before we talk about the medals breaking, I got to tell you about this biathlete. He won. That's a skating event. He won a bronze. And then you said, Anthony, he was like talking about cheating on his girlfriend. What happened?
Oh, yeah. So a Norwegian Olympian athlete who took 3rd place in his category used that time to apologize to his ex that he had cheated on. And he said that was the biggest mistake of his life. And he forgave her. And he wanted to apologize in front of the whole world after winning his bronze medal.
Are you taking somebody back for doing that?
At first, I was like, I'm on this guy's side. This is kind of amazing that he's using, you know, the one time he's going to be able to speak to the world to say, I'm sorry. But then I thought about it. I was like, he kind of embarrassed his girlfriend twice now.
Because not only cheated. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yep. And I think if you're going to apologize to me after you cheat on me, you better go win gold.
Yep.
I ain't getting back with no bronze.
I was going to say,
medalist.
If he wasn't two timing, he might have got a gold.
We do have producer Jack. Do we have audio of him apologizing?
Yep.
Okay. Here's a press conference. It took place. Let me hear it.
Really, I don't know if it's the right choice or not, but it was the choice I made. We make different choices during our life. That's how you make life, basically. So today I made the choice to tell the world what I did. So maybe there is a chance that she will see what she really means to me, and maybe not. But I don't want to think I didn't try everything to get her back.
So, I don't.
Again, Johan, I don't want to steal the show today. I hope this is just like a day or two long thing, and then your Olympic gold medal is forever.
I don't want to try to steal the show, but he stole the show. Yeah, I have to try at least. I will give him credit for that. Look, he owned up to making an error, and then he said, if I don't at least try, I will always regret it. Because what if they get back together and they get married and they have children and they live happily ever after? I always say I believe in second chances. I don't believe in 3rd, 4th, 5th, whatever. Second chances, however, how many times have we talked to people, Otto? How many times? And it works out.
But now there's like documentation throughout the world that he cheated on her. And then if they do go get married and have kids, their kids are going to be searching the internet someday daddy's bronze medal. They're going to be like, oh, my daddy cheated on my mama?
And my dad regretted it so much that he shamed himself in front of the world. Because, you know, everybody's talking to him and calling him a dirty dog.
Is he just a raging narcissist that he just thinks he's that important?
No, he is not a raging narcissist. I think that he loves this woman. He realizes he messed up. And so why not try to get her back? In my opinion, I think that it's commendable. I'm not saying she has to take him back, but if she did, I would not be angry. I'd be like, hey, girl, if I was her friend, I'd be like, do what makes you happy. If you love this man and you'll regret not giving it a second try, go for it. Who cares what anybody else thinks? Oh, and the medals are breaking. I forgot why we were going to talk about this. So the whole thing, did you see that? So our ice skater, I think her name is Alyssa Liu, she won a medal and she's jumping up and down. Here she is talking about it.
I was jumping up and down and it just like dropped from the ribbon. But I got it replaced this morning for this media day. I have to wear it.
So I started thinking, well, who's manufacturing these things? Well, every country makes their own medals. Come on, USA.
What?
Come on, USA.
Dude, if there's never been a way to just kind of sum up what's going on in America, it's right
there. I know. Literally.
All right. The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Oh, my gosh. Britney Spears has joined a group of artists who've sold their catalog. How much money did Brit make? I will tell you after celebrity birthdays, Anthony A.
We have Mike Posner celebrating his birthday. And and Gucci Mane celebrating birthday as well, too.
So Britney Spears sold her catalog. Now, hers is undisclosed, but it is called a landmark deal of about $200 million is what the speculation is. Yeah, Justin Bieber got close to that. She might have arguably one of the highest sales when it comes to music catalog. And here's the thing. She still keeps a certain percentage of points, which I don't understand. I don't really get it for the rest of her life, which will probably be passed down to her children, is what I'm assuming, because she has two sons. But she's joining a long list of artists who have come to the realization that you don't live forever and you'll never be able to earn that kind of money in your lifetime, and you can't take it with you. So you might as well sell part or all of your catalog to make money. Let's see. Dr. Dre sold his for $200+ million.
Over 200 million.
Yeah. Lil Wayne. That's what 200 plus means, Otto. Lil Wayne sold his for 100 million plus. And here's the catch with that. He did like his songs, Young Money. He also sold whatever he owns for Drake and Nicki Minaj.
Mm.
Stake in theirs. Not all of it. Stake in theirs. Wiz Khalifa has sold his. Katy Perry has sold hers. Future got $75 million for his catalog. My gosh.
Man, it's pretty interesting that Wiz Khalifa also sold his too, because Wiz Khalifa has a lot of lifelong songs and arena anthems that sports teams still use. And I mean, you think about the one with him and Charlie Puth, that gets played constantly. So
I didn't even think about that one.
Wiz Khalifa has like some low-key, really iconic records that, I mean, I hope he got his deal right. He probably did. He's a smart businessman.
Yeah. But I mean, Nelly sold his catalog. 50 Cent sold his catalog. I mean,
so Britney's just late to the party. She's late to the party, then, what you're saying, Otto.
Why not cash out now? Like you said, you can't take it with you. And then plus you're going to get, you know, $75, $100, $200 million. That's a lot of money.
You know who sold her catalog that kind of shocked me?
Who?
Iggy Azalea. She has a catalog?
She had some big hits. I'm sure she made some money off of it.
Well, estimates are like, 10 million? Hey, 10 million in the bank, honey.
10 million more than I have.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Britney Spears. I hope that she utilizes this money, to get healthy, get well, get better. I don't care what anybody says. You don't know. I know. I'm looking at these videos she's putting out, and there's something wrong. And I really want her to be okay. I mean, I don't know her, but just like any other human being I would see that needs some help, you want them to get well. You know, and so all that money, though, it worries me. It worries me.
That does worry me a little bit, especially with the speculation that she has drug problems and now she's just going to have an endless amount of money to buy those drugs. Hopefully she gets, control of everything.
I still remember when Jay-Z, when they asked him, they were like, hey, what song do you work out? Everybody's waiting for like some hardcore song. And he said, Britney Spears, Slay for You.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Okay, so Savannah Guthrie, who hosts the Today Show, her mother, Nancy Guthrie, has been missing now for well over a week. Everybody is on high alert. You see just about every news organization, social media, print and online publications talking about it because she is somebody who's in the public eye. Now, yesterday, I was shocked to see video was released because initially they said that the mother didn't have a camera, but here's what it was. She didn't have a subscription. That's what it was. She had a Ring camera, but there was no active subscription. And the thief or the alleged perpetrator went to the home, removed the camera. First, he tried to cover it with foliage, like leaves. I'm not even kidding. He tried to cover it, and then he removed it. Well, it doesn't matter. The video lives in the cloud, and Google, it took them a while to access it, but they gave the FBI, as soon as they were able to retrieve it, they gave them this video. So we're actually going to hear from a former FBI agent about what the video shows. But first, remember, Savannah Guthrie herself is pleading with the public. And here's what she had to say.
Hi there, everybody. I wanted to come on and share a few thoughts as we enter into another week of this nightmare. I just want to say, first of all, thank you so much for all of the prayers and the love that we have felt, my sister and brother and I. And that our mom has felt, because we believe that somehow, some way, she is feeling these prayers. Law enforcement is working tirelessly around the clock trying to bring her home. She was taken and we don't know where. So I'm coming on just to ask you, not just for your prayers, but no matter where you are, even if you're far from Tucson, If you see anything, if you hear anything, if there's anything at all that seems strange to you, that you report to law enforcement. We are at an hour of desperation and we need your help.
Gosh, this, just the pain in her voice. It gets me every time. Now, this newly released video, if you haven't seen it, go to Dana Cortez Show on Instagram. We're going to post it.
They took somebody into custody, though, right?
Yes, but they released him. Oh, yes, they took him into custody, but he was released. So, and you know, they only held him for a few hours.
When I first heard the story, I thought that this was going to be like some high-level operation. But after seeing that video, I realized I don't think this guy really was like, I think he, after hearing the Bitcoin story, hearing everything, I don't feel like it, this is somebody who, I think it's just somebody who's trying to go, like a come up, who just knew that her daughter probably has a lot of money and they could probably get some money out of him.
And no, and here's another thing that a lot of FBI specialists who were former FBI agents are saying, he wasn't moving fast. He's very calm. He's very slow. The place he had his gun, if anybody know, like, if you know how to carry a gun, if that would have gone off, it would have hurt him. Yeah. And, like, trying to cover the camera with a plant. Like, what are you doing? I mean, no, that sounds nefarious. You don't have duct tape. But these are the things that these FBI correspondents are saying because, or news correspondents, rather, are saying that worked for the FBI prior. Because they know that if you are a trained criminal, you go up there ready. Now, this is former FBI agent. He's a correspondent for CNN, talking more in depth about the video.
I think it's worth noting that authorities, you know, may call this individual a subject or a person of interest till they have greater confidence. But I think, you know, if I'm working that case, you see someone show up at a residence like that in the middle of the night, dressed the way this person is, completely trying to obscure their face, trying to obscure their hands, and showing up armed. But we can actually see what appears to be the handle of a pistol that's tucked in to what looks like a holster at the individual at his front. And so there is no discernible reason why someone shows up looking like that with that type of weapon, unless there are some type of sinister purposes. Gosh. And so, again, they may say subject, they may say person of interest. This is the person that they're looking for right now.
And that's why they're asking everyone from all parts of the country, because of the 12-hour, the odd 12-hour window in the ransom note. They believe that this person might be 12 hours away. Think about it, because when you're, you know, when you're writing notes or you're doing things subconsciously, there's things that are going to slip that investigators will pick up on that you might not have even thought about.
I read another thing that they're not suspecting the son-in-law anymore. I saw some stuff online that people were suspecting that it might have been the son-in-law and that.
That
no
was
one
all online talk and chatter because the FBI and local police in Tucson had gone to the son-in-law's home. Well, of course they went there. They're going everywhere to talk to family. They're going to neighbors everywhere. This is the only video available, though, because other neighbors in the area who have turned in video, because the homes are so far back and there's so much foliage, there's just, it didn't show anything, not even a car driving by. So unfortunately, that's all they have. It does show this person's face pretty well, though. You can see, I think I can see a mustache. I think so I can see a mustache.
It has to be somebody who knows her, knows the family, right?
Yes, that's a lot of these FBI agents are saying that, Anthony, that they do believe they may not know them, but they know of them and they're aware of her movements. They've been watching her or they know. Yeah.
That person did not look nervous even a little.
Not even a little bit. They knew they were going to be fine. Nobody was going to be walking up there. Nobody could see them. But they're not professionals.
No, definitely
trying
not
to cover the camel with a plant. You are not a professional.
No.
But here's my thing. And Otto, I noticed you renewed our subscription for our home security camera.
Of course I did.
In this day
and age, how am I going to spy on everyone?
In the neighborhood, I can't stand you. But in this day and age, I just think it's worth having cameras, not even only outside your home, rather, because we've got cameras in the back, in the front. Our contractor convinced us to put them in our house, too. And he's like, why not? Why not? You're not going to point them at, you know, in your bedroom, things like that. But have them in your living room. Have them in the front door. He's like, why not? I didn't think about that. He's like, if someone comes in your house, the more evidence you have to present, the better it is for authorities. So that's just my piece of advice. Once again, if you know anything, if you've heard anything, you have an inkling that you might know who this person is, please call 911 is what FBI and authorities in Tucson are asking you to do, and you will be directed to the right department.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.